I'm Sally Vaughan Johnston.
And my name is Mary Halpin.
And you're both Bridge ladies.
Well, Mary is one of the original Best of Bridge ladies, and I'm kind of the newer kid on the block. So I was invited to join the Best of Bridge team in 2008, and I've been working with them ever since.
Do you know what happened? We in 2008, the Best of Bridge ladies decided it was time to retire. And actually, there were eight of us to start, seven of us for 30 years. And over the last decade, three people have passed away. So, you know, four people, getting down to four people, you know, I mean, we were still very good friends, but, you know, the will to keep on testing and creating was we were finished. And so we were just going to shut the business down. And all of our customers were saying, but now we won't be able to get the books anywhere. So we talked to Robert Rose Publishing, who agreed to keep on publishing our old titles, keeping the coil, but adding a hardcover, so that was good. And he said, you know, I will print your books, but I'm going to find you somebody who you can relate to, who will understand your approach, and we'll work on doing some new books. Anyway, that's Sally.
And Sally, what was that like to get invited to join the club, so to speak?
To join the club, it was kind of intimidating, to say the least. I mean, you know, there's one of me and five of you.
Yeah, Sally said we scared the daylights out of her.
We really did. But you know, I mean, and they obviously the Best of Bridge ladies were and are such an incredible group of friends. So, and they remain very good friends after all these years, despite having been business partners, you know. It was like being invited into this private club. I had a sense that they were going to be pretty, I mean, they're Alberton ladies, right? I figured they were going to be really tough cookies.
Pardon the pun.
But so welcoming, because when I went down to Calgary, I live in Edmonton, and the ladies are all based in and around Calgary, and I went down to meet them, and the meeting was arranged at Mary's house, and Mary opened the door and gave me a great big hug. Didn't stop me feeling really, really, you know what, I was so nervous, I wore black, so you couldn't see how much I was sweating or something. I was seriously, and I'm pretty ballsy, you know, I mean, oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that.
That's all right. Bad word.
Anyways, but no, it was great, and it's been great. And Mary is the member of the team with whom I've worked most consistently and most closely over the last 4 years, and it's been fantastic. I mean, she's guided me all the way in the ways of the ladies. This is the way you put it.
Yeah.
Like passing on your, what is it you say? Passing on your all the knowledge we've got, or something, or no, I forget what it is. Well,
we've been helping Sally. Sally gets us now. She gets us.
Yeah,
and she does.
Yeah, I mean, because the Best of Bridge was successful for a reason, and it was really important for me to understand what that was and what it was about the recipes. Well, what it was is that A, they always work, and you can rely on them. Also, they're not too complicated. You know, you don't have to go rushing off to a specialty market to find some weird ingredient. They've always used ingredients that are readily available in the supermarket for the most, you know. And that's not to say we haven't taken the recipes forward, because that's one of the things that we've been keen to do as I've been involved, is the awareness that everybody now wants everything. You know, everybody is trying to eat fresher and healthier. People are eating more whole grains. They want to incorporate more fresh fruit and vegetables into their dishes. And of course, the range of international ingredients that are now, I mean, who'd ever heard the words chipotle pepper a few years ago? You know, when McDonald's has got a chipotle pepper something, you know it's gone mainstream, right? But so it's important to stay on top of those trends and those ingredients, and that's what we're doing. Gradually. I mean, we haven't suddenly got a book full of chipotle pepper recipes.
No, but I was, you know, I saw, well, there's a chorizo sausage as an ingredient there, and probably in years gone by, you would never have seen that in there.
When we were talking to Bob Dees, who owns Robert Rose, and he sometimes suggests ideas, and we sort of warm to them or not, and the idea for doing a slow cooker book, it just, you know, slow cookers and Best of Bridge are synonymous. It's the same approach to cooking. It's kind of mainstream. It's sort of like middle of the road. It's the Best of Bridge ladies. It works. So Sally said she would do that. And she went to work and did all the work, the testing and the recipe developing. But the thing that was really neat that Sally discovered Well, first of all, Sally said, okay, I'm going to take all of your favorite recipes that can be converted to a slow cooker, adjust the volumes, and make them taste as good as they did, you know, in a regular
most favorite ones.
And so we were really excited about that. And I feel that that means there's still a lot of credibility for the Best of Bridge in this book that Sally's doing. And then Sally, as she was doing it, which I'll let you explain, started developing, you know, a whole new understanding of slow cookers that we didn't know about. And I just wanted to say, Sally did a chapter in this book called Slow Cookers 101. And it's invaluable because you open it up and you sort of think, you know, I could do this. And you understand everything about buying books and cookers.
Yeah.
So that's what we are delighted about.
I did develop a number of the most popular of the Best of Bridge recipes, you know, so the best ever pot roast, you know, the best ever a chili, this kind of thing. And then I did develop a whole bunch of recipes that are brand new to the library of recipes, if you will, including a lot of recipes for dishes I had not realized you could cook in the slow cooker, such as puddings and cakes. Who knew? My favorite cornbread now is made in the slow cooker. You wouldn't think it, would you? You can use your slow cooker as a fondue pot. You know, you can make wonderful hot cheesy dips. So it's wonderful for entertaining because you can kind of get it going and it sits off in the corner and does its thing while you're being, you know, mine host and pouring the drinks. And you know what? It's a very forgiving appliance. I have to admit, at first I was a little leery. I hadn't used one much myself previously. And my first thought was that many people had, which is, oh God, mushy food. And you know, that's what a lot of people say. Oh, everything's going to taste the same. And that was my perception, but it doesn't. I mean, for one thing, even when you're looking at entrees, the diversity of recipes and dishes that can be cooked, even if you're thinking of stews, there's curries, there's chilies, you know, there's tangines, and there's good old-fashioned stews. And then you've got all the different flavors, you know, the Tex-Mex and your Indian and your Thai.
And you said you had people over for a gourmet dinner, I did
osso buco. Yeah, woohoo, osso buco. And I did the mushroom in another pot. I did the mushroom polenta that went with the osso buco because actually that's marvelous. You don't have to stir. The best caramelized onions, the most fuss-free caramelized onions in the slow cooker. You know, all these for something that bakes and cooks with the ease of an easy bake oven, you know, it's so low tech, and yet it has so much versatility.
Well, I was going to ask you if the design of them has really changed. Have they gotten any more like newfangled and different options and things like that make them a little more either confusing or technical to use?
You know what, Dawn? I have to speak to that because I had an old crock pot, and it was a small one. And I'm reading Slow Cooker 101, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm going to have to seize the day here and get myself another slow cooker. And so Sally explains the range of them, the sizes, and all that sort of thing. So I went out to do some shopping with some confidence. And yes, the technology has changed markedly. Now, you can go for the all-clad $300 super-duper special, and it's lovely. But there are some good middle to higher-end ones that do a lot of things that Sally told me about. So I went out, you know, with lots of confidence and got myself another slow cooker. And so I think has changed.
It has changed. But at the end of the day, you don't have to buy a really expensive one.
No.
What they have these days that is really useful to include when you're purchasing a new one, a lot of them now have automatic timers. So they will switch to a keep warm setting at the end of, so if you've set it for, let's say, 8 hours of cooking for your chili, but you're not home yet because the traffic's backed up on the bridge, it's not going to just simply continue to cook, because you can overcook food in the slow cooker, right? So it'll switch to keep warm for a number of hours. And if you're going to look for a newer one, that's a feature that's really handy and worth having. You know, some of them now have features that are, you know, okay, the cord wraps up and tidies away in a special, who cares, you know? And it's good to have a see-through lid so you can have a little look inside. Other than that, really, you know, all you're really looking for is for two options, high or low. Some of the others have other options. Frankly, I never did quite figure out what they did. Some have something called simmer. That sort of just seems to sit there. Don't know what that's all about. Others have, there's also, but really, as long as it has high, low, and maybe has an automatic timer, that's about as, the other thing too is, if you're going out to buy a new one, You want to consider the size of your family and who you're cooking for, because they come in two, generally speaking, two main sizes. One is around 3 to 4 quarts, and the other is tend to be 5 to 6.5 quarts. So if you're only a family of 2 or 3 or even 4, that smaller one will probably do you for most recipes. But if you're a bigger family or you entertain a lot, you may want a bigger one. You know, it's kind of nice if you really get in to have one of each. Because then, you know, if it's Thanksgiving and you want to make your mushroom bread stuffing in the slow cooker, let me tell you, that's the best way to do it. Because the time is occupying the oven, you know, you've got another helpful tool here when everything else is occupied. But so it's worth considering buying two, you know, and you can get them quite reasonably.
So it sounds like from being originally skeptical when you approach this project, you're just went into it gung-ho now.
You know what, Dawn? I was talking to her last summer, and she said, "Oh my God, save me! It's nothing but mush. You know, I'm sick and tired of soggy food." And then just listening to Sally sort of start to master the thing, and Sally will always say, even when we've been doing some slow cooker recipes on television here in Vancouver, and having different food styles preparing things, they come out differently. And Sally said right at the beginning, you know, your slow cooker has its own personality and you will get to know it. And so that way, pay attention to what you have a sort of a range of times.
You do, that's right, because the slow cookers, they are a very, very fundamental technology. I mean, you're pretty much cooking with a light bulb in there, I think. And what tends to happen, I've found, having used a number of brands and sizes and quality of slow cookers at the time, I now have 8 machines. I had 9, but I gave one to my son, who put it in a cupboard and has never looked at it again, but that's another story. but I do find that they do, and we have noticed this, that some will cook faster on high setting than others do, and others will cook slower on the low setting than others. And so all you can really do, so what we do in the recipes is we will give a range of cooking times. So it will usually say, you know, cook on low for 6 to 8 hours. And what we say in the 101, the Slow Cooker 101 chapter, is when you've got a new machine, check at that lower, that shorter time first. So if it's a 6, check after 6 hours. If it still doesn't look cooked, you know, give it a little bit longer. So yeah, you do have to kind of get to know them. They're like really cranky teenagers, actually, sometimes.
I want to know what your kitchen looked like when you were testing recipes for this book. Did you have like all 8 or 9 on the go at the same time?
Never mind my kitchen. I have an older home in Edmonton, and with a kind of open plan kitchen come dining room. The dining table just got pushed out of the way for 4 months. I purchased 2 folding tables from the discount store, and I set them all up. And my house constantly smelled like a combination of curry. I mean, the mailman, it was last. The mailman would be walking up the front sidewalk, maybe to make a delivery of yet another slow cooker or something. And I'd open the door. And he'd say, "Oh, what are you cooking? I could smell it," he says, down on the street. And I have a long front path up to my house. It was chaos. It was chaos.
Did over the course of choosing the recipes, did you come up with some true favorites that you want to mention now?
Yeah, I did, actually. I really, really have a pork chili in there. Perfect pork chili, which uses pork shoulder. A lot of people, when they think of chili, they think of ground meat, right? But this uses cubes of pork shoulder, which is a fattier and, generally speaking, cheaper cut of meat. And it just cooks to this incredible tenderness. And still on the topic of pork, we have a recipe for a shredded Mexican pork to use in tacos. I'm just really big on those flavors. And so it's like a pulled pork. And it's, again, you know, so tender, so flavorful, and really inexpensive. And of course, anything with the word curry in will, I'm from Britain originally, right? I mean, I love curry. So there's quite a few curry recipes in there.
Is there a chicken tikka masala in there?
No, there's not a chicken tikka masala, actually. Maybe in the next book. But there is an easy chicken curry.
And is there butter chicken in there?
And there's a butter chicken, yeah.
Ah, okay, well.
There's a vindaloo, and there's a madras, a beef madras. Yeah, but that's not to say everything's a curry, but there's a good number of them in there. And lots of bean recipes, because beans, black beans, chickpeas, those kind of things. So there's a chickpea curry. Those cook really, really well in the slow cooker. So, you know, a lot of people are realizing how what a healthy option that is.
And soups. I mean, I know that's a given, but lots of great soups.
Lots of great soups, yeah, and because a lot of beans are featured in a lot of the soups that we use too, you know. The kind of what Mary calls the lumpy soups do really, really well in there. Anything with like beans and chunks in, you know.
So the beans, you're starting out with dried beans that you've soaked overnight, and then you're adding them into the recipe. Is that how it goes?
I'm glad you asked that question, actually. Well done. Because the answer is not quite. If you're starting with dried beans, you do need to soak them and pre-cook them before you add them to a recipe. However, the good news is you can do that pre-cooking of a big batch of dried beans in the slow cooker. So you soak them and then you put them in the slow cooker overnight, go to bed. About 12 hours later, they're done. And I suggest to people that you, you know, you do a batch because then you can drain them, cool them, freeze them. And then when you want to make your chili or your soup, you just pull them out and you can add them in. But no, for recipes, you do need to make sure they're pre-cooked, whether they're the dried ones that you've cooked or canned ones. A lot of people will use the canned ones. A little salty, so you need to rinse them. But, you know, that's nice. That's a nice quick option too.
Well, it sounds like there could be a slow cooker too, do you think?
A slow cooker too. Well, I've certainly got enough recipes, you know, because I just keep on going. You know, the first thing I have to tell you, but I don't know is the answer, but I've got a lot of recipes building up already. But I have to tell you, one of the first things I did when I finished the last recipe, I said to my husband, now I need a really big crunchy salad. Right now.
Well, you have to say it is a particular style of cooking, even though it can range over so many different nationalities and everything. It is a certain style, and you can't make a salad in a slow cooker.
Oh, it's comfort food, right? I mean, it's comfort. It's great for winter, you know, and the baking chapter is great for any time of year because it means you can make certain desserts without having to switch on the oven and you can leave it unattended, which is a great joy. But yeah, I mean, certainly with the fall and the winter upon us, it's definitely time to be thinking about slow cookers.
What about breakfasts?
Yeah, you know what?
Oh, I forgot about that.
One of the best known Best of Bridge recipes, it was in the second book we did, is called Christmas Morning Wifesaver. And Sally actually makes that in the slow cooker.
It's like a savory bread pudding.
And so some people have said to me, well, if it's an overnight recipe, why would you want to use the slow cooker? But the fact is that it then frees up the oven for whatever you want to be doing, you know, the next day. And it's one less dish to deal with, you know, when you're coming in out of the oven. So we're actually quite delighted with it. And today we've been in Vancouver demonstrating, what do? We did old-fashioned lemon pudding. Mm. I mean, that's one of my all-time favorites. And there, you know, if you don't have a big kitchen or lots of equipment, it's another oven. It's another possibility so that you can be making your dinner.
Well, it also means you don't have to switch the oven on for one dish, right? You know, or if in the summertime you want old-fashioned lemon pudding, you don't want to switch the oven on. It's a very economical way to cook, of course. So if you just want to make, you know, a fruit cobbler, but you don't want your oven on for anything else, well, you can use the slow cooker. Yeah.
You know, I've got a slow cooker. It's in the basement. It's been sitting there for a while. And just listening to your excitement of this, I'm going to get it out and start doing some more stuff again.
And you know what I did? I went downstairs and got my slow cooker out of the basement and measured it because I didn't even know how much it held. And it was 4 quarts. And I thought, okay, now I'm reading Sally's recipes. Now I need something for 7.5. So it isn't like you're going to use it. Now I'm going to do desserts and some of the smaller, like just great vegetables and things. So and the pilaf. And I'm going to do that. And then I've got my new 7.5 quart or 6.5 quart or whatever it is. And now I'm going to do, you know, sort of the full on large quantities. And I'm quite excited. And besides that, you know, we've been on this promotion tour now and I've been listening to Sally and it's like you, I'm just getting all fired up.
It's a great time of year to be doing it.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you. It's fun talking to you.
Yes. And thank you for putting up with this barrage of excitement.
And now go dust off that slow cooker.
All right.